A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. A very good morning to you, Namibia. Welcome to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station, your 24/7 talk radio station in the land. So I hope you had a very beautiful weekend, beautiful, restful weekend. You know, hope you're ready for the new week and ready to contribute to the well-being, to the economic development and growth of this country. Each one of you, whatever you do, each one of you, whatever you do, you have a role to play. You know, you have a role to play. Don't just look at the leaders, political leaders and, you know, and maybe business people or something. No, you, whatever you do, every one of us, this is like a body. And every part contribute to the function of the body. So whatever you do, whether you're a receptionist, whether you are selling, you know, biscuit, I mean, whether you're selling sweets or fat cake on the street, you're still actually contributing. You, because you're serving the, some other people. So you're delivering a service to people. So whatever you do, wherever you are actually, contributing to the development and well and economic well-being of this country. And thanks for doing that. Whatever you, we appreciate whatever you're doing. So let me on behalf, maybe they don't do that quite often, on behalf of the leaders, the political leaders, let me appreciate what you do. Good morning to you. Our time is about, you know, 3 minutes past the hour of eight. My name is Mike Oshoveli. And this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, and politics. And every day, every weekday, we cut through the noise and we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear and little witty and always, always curious and asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation. So you can be part of a bigger conversation. So this is your space. You're most welcome to unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the stories. So if you're just joining us, good morning to you, and you're most welcome. You know, today is the 6th of October, and what happened on the 6th of October in the course of history in Africa? So that's where we start this morning, on this day in Africa, on the 8th of, on the 6th of October, what happened on this day in Africa? So, in 1973, on October the 6th, Egypt and Syria, so we talking about Egypt here. Well, Syria is not in Africa, it's in the Middle East. But Egypt and Syria launched a surprise attack on Israel. And they struck on two fronts. They struck on two fronts. Syria attacked on the Golan Heights, from the Golan Heights. And Egypt crossed the Suez Canal in the Sinai Peninsula. So the day caught Israel off guard. And Egypt's success in crossing the Suez and overwhelmingly Israeli defense positions was a bold move from Egypt, breaking through the Bar Levy line and changing the balance in that region. So this marked the beginning of a Yom Kippur war, a conflict that would last several, you know, weeks and reshape politics across the Middle East. Now, then 8 years later, on October 6th, again in 1981, another dramatic event unfolded in Cairo. You know, Egypt was holding a military parade to celebrate its crossing of the Suez Canal, which had happened years before during the 1973 war. So while the parade was underway, President Anwar Sadat came to review his troop, like what the president normally do. Suddenly, a gunman in the military uniform broke away from the procession and opened fire using rifles and grenades. So Sadat was shot multiple times. He was wounded severely and died a few hours later. So the attack also claimed other lives, including dignitaries and officials. So the assassin was a Lieutenant Kali al-Islambouli, who was later captured and executed. So Sadat's death threw Egypt and the whole region into shock, and it had a major political consequences in that region. And coming home, back home in 1977, the Tunahale Constitutional Conference, that was an initiative sponsored by the apartheid South Africa to manage a transition for Southwest Africa, that Namibia today. Now, the conference the conference had begun in 1975 in Windhoek with delegates from various ethnic groups, though notably exclusion SWAPO, the main liberation movement. So on October 6, officials announced that the conference would be wrapped up soon. In the wake of the conference end, the Democratic Tunahale Alliance, DTA, emerged from among the participants and became a vehicle for those favoring the internal settlement path. Now, but besides this development, the Tunahale constitution itself was never fully enacted. So the United Nations and the broader international community continued to reject it and insisting that any path towards Namibian independence must include SWAPO and adhere to a genuine majority rule. So, and today, October the 6th, is also recognized as a World Smile Day. Today is a World Smile Day and a global, this is a global observation, not necessary to Africa, connect with positivity. So today it's a World Smile Day. So what you do? Make sure that you smile. Just smile the whole day. So it's a smile day today. World Smile Day. Make sure that you smile. Have a smile on your face this morning. And not only this morning, the whole day. Celebrate the day with a smile. All right? So hopefully you do that. Okay? So it's a World Smile Day. And let's smile. Let's be infectious. Let's be infectious with a smile. That when you smile, others also smile. And we infectious everybody today. Let's start that. All right. I've started with Eagle FM. Any employee of Eagle FM today, smile, please. Smile. Some of you are too serious. All right. All right. So Monday, October the 6th, what is our thought for the day? The pen is mightier than the sword. The pen is mightier than the sword. So, the proverb means that ideas, words, and communication often have more lasting influence than violence or force. In other words, writing or maybe speaking with reason can change minds, sway public opinion, challenge injustice, achieve a social or political change in a way that weapons or brute power cannot. So the proverbs encourage non-violence method where dialogue, you know, critique, advocacy, and persuasion. So rather than actually suppressing dissent by force. So it encourages us to pursue more non-violence method. So which is actually dialogue, critique, advocacy, and persuasion rather than suppressing others by force. So that's the thought of the day. The pen is mightier than the sword. And hopefully, whatever you do today, decision you make, choices you make, encourage some kind of non-violence method, dialogue, critique, advocacy, and persuasions. So that's our thought for the day this morning. And good morning and welcome if you just joining us. So what is coming up today in the show? What is coming up today in the show? We will look at the report from the Bank of Namibia. It's a quarterly report looking at Namibia FDI inflows, and that inflow dropped down to 6.8 billion, you know, in quarter two. So it has dropped down. And there is something here. There's something. The nature of FDI that are inflowing in Namibia, this report give us some clue, give us some a snapshot, if you like, of the nature of FDI that inflows in our country. So don't miss that. And then we have the Africa Resilience Forum that took place in Abidjan. I think it's Ivory Coast. So the leaders there, the development leaders there, call for a higher quality border infrastructure. So that we're going to look at well, because it's also very, very, very interesting. And if we still have time, plus you come through as well and your contributions. So the third topic we can look at, if we still have time, something we should have actually looked at last week, CIMA, the medical aid for the government. Well, health challenges for civil servant, some directive from the ministry itself, coming 2026. So we're going to look at that. And if we have time to do that. So that's what we have for you this morning. And well, stay tuned. As you can see, fully packed. And we come into you live, directly live from Ondangwe Studio. And we will be with you from now until the hour of 10 o'clock. When we come back, we get into our first stories.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get the...
Mobile device? You can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast.
Oh, good morning, good morning. I hate technology. This why I really hate technology. So because sometimes it just surprises you. It just surprises you unexpectedly. So we're back. We were a little bit off. So it's because of technology. And that what happens when you're live. It happens when you're live. You know, you can expect anything that happens. So, but anyway, we're back. It's about 20 minutes past the hour of 8. So I just want to make sure that you know that I'm live, okay? 20 minutes past the hour of 8. Good morning, good afternoon. The reason why I say good afternoon, there could be other people that are listening, not from outside of this country. And that's why you need actually to download the Eagle FM mobile app so that you can listen, you know, to Eagle FM wherever you may find yourself. And this is not just about when you're outside of the country. You could be in the country, you could not be maybe at work, or you could be, I was in Angola the other time, in Onjiva. I slept in Onjiva. So, but then I was still actually be able to listen to, to Eagle FM being actually in Onitsha. So, yep. Yeah, that's the beauty of downloading the Eagle FM app. You know, make sure that you do that as well. So, good morning and a very warm welcome. A very warm welcome to Unpacking the Day. I'm Michael Shovedi. And this morning, we are talking about money, okay? Specifically, the money coming into Namibia from other countries, what we call foreign direct investment or FDI. All right, now, you might be thinking, what does the FDI got to do with me at the shop, for example, when I'm at the shop, or my child, or my child's school's books or something like that. Okay? Well, stick around, my friend, because the latest figure from the Bank of Namibia suggests that significant dip in this crucial investment, it could have a really consequences for all of us. So I want you to stick around and I want you to unpack this with me because it's very interesting. I love datas. You know, I love datas because they always tell a story. So now, the Bank of Namibia recently released its September 2025 quarterly bulletin. And the headline, net foreign direct investment inflows into our country have fallen. You know, it has fallen. So we're talking about a drop from 12.7 billion in the last quarter, just the previous quarter. 12.7 billion in the previous quarter, in the first quarter of this year, to 6.8 billion in the second quarter. So that's almost half. That's almost slashed in half. And it's also lower than what we saw in the same period last year, so which was actually 7.3 billion. So now, why actually this massive drop? Why actually this massive drop? The bank points a finger, mainly at the oil sector. The bank said, it's the oil sector. It is the oil and gas. Apparently, the big oil companies exploring in areas like the Orange Basins aren't putting as much new money in right now. As we speak, they are not putting in new money right now. That's the bank saying, yeah, it is them. They are not putting in new money, you know? So, and they have done a lot of the initial drilling, okay, because, you know, oil and gas, this kind of like it start and, you know, and off and start and, you know, this, they have done a lot of drilling, initial drilling, and now they are in a phase of studying, you know, they are in the phase of studying all the data and they are waiting to make those financial big investment decision that is expected around 2026. So it's kind of like, how is that? It's appraisal phase, okay? It's kind of like an appraisal phase where now they are not investing anymore. They kind of waiting. They are at where now they are studying all the data and doing evaluations for them to decide whether they will invite, you know, whether they will invest or not. And that's expected now around 2026. So one can look at that perspective as well and say, well, maybe, yes, but the question is, are we relying on one nature of investment for, you know, for our economic growth? So if there's no investment from there, does it mean, you know, there's nothing coming in? That's something that you need to think. Think beyond the headlines. But is it just about the oil exploration slowing down? Or there is more to it? Now, the report also mentioned that companies in the mining and transport sectors are taking out more loans from their parent companies abroad. Now, importantly, they are repaying loans back to those foreign companies. So what they do, actually, it's like saying, we have borrowed money, and now we are giving it back. So instead, we are bringing more money in to grow. So you see? So those now in mining and transport, also, they are actually paying back. They are repaying back. So, which doesn't help as well. So, instead of now bringing in money, you know, they actually now paying back. We are giving it back. So, and when more money is flowing out as a repayment, well, it's naturally that reduces the net amount of investment coming in. Naturally, that's what it does. So, the other companies, I mean, the oil and gas are not investing anymore. They are more quiet a little bit, maybe because maybe they are in appraisal phase. And the mining and transport sectors are actually paying, you know, are repaying the money they have borrowed. So it's not a good day on the office for Namibia. So, and it's not just about new money coming in. We also need to talk about money going out. So the report highlighted that primary income outflow remain higher. The primary income outflows remain higher. What does that mean in a plain English? What that means is that it means foreign shareholders are taking more of their profit out of Namibia. Dividends, as they call it. So this primary income outflow means that now the foreign shareholders are taking more money, you know, taking more of their profit out of Namibia. So actually, money is just going out. It's just going out. They're claiming their dividends. And that, now think of this. Put that at the back of your mind. Think of now local ownership. You know, would this money actually goes out if they were actually local shareholders? If it was actually local shareholders, would this money actually going out? Probably it would be reinvested in Namibia. All right. Now, I'm going to give you an example. All right. So for this, so that we can understand it better. Okay. Now imagine you own a small tuck. Let's just take a tuck shop. We own a small tuck shop here in Ondangwa. All right. So you put in some of your own saving, and maybe a friend from South Africa lends you some money to buy stock. All right. So if your tuck shop does well, your tuck shop really does well, and you want to maybe reinvest some profit back into the business. It does well. You get really, you know, you get some good profit, but you want now, you know, because you want now to reinvest some of this into your business. Buy more stock, maybe hire some more people because you are doing really well. But what if you decided now to send a big chunk of your profit back to your friend in South Africa? Because they are a shareholder. Eh? So because they are a shareholder, that is the money that is not staying here to help grow the business. We'll come back.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
And definitely we're about you as well. So, okay. Now, when I said that the primary income flow remain higher was that the foreign shareholders are taking more of their profit out of Namibia, okay? Their dividends. So, and now as I give you that an example, is that your tuck shop is doing really well. But the thing is that you have the other guy that borrowed you money, okay? So that actually borrowed you money. The one from South Africa lends you some money to buy your stock. So now that this it's doing, you want it. You know, you wanted this money now. You wanted to maybe to reinvest in some profit, this sum of the profit actually back into the business, buy some stock again, maybe hire some other people because the business has grown a little bit. But what if you now, as I said, you decide now to send this big chunk of that profit back to your friend in South Africa? Because they are shareholder, isn't it? So, and I said, that is the money that is not staying here to help now, to help the business, to help create jobs. Think in that way, to buy more supplies locally. So the money is actually going out. That's what I want you to see. See the nature of, you can see that shareholders, if are not locals, the money is not circulating in the country. It goes out. And that tells you the nature of investment, that we have. The owners of investment in the country. So the money is not, it's going out, is not staying here to help grow the business, to create jobs, and to buy more supply locally. Just the same example I've given you. Your friend, you know, you gave the money back. You gave that money, you know, he's a shareholder. That big chunk of money you sent it to him. And now you're in the same situation. You know, you can't improve your businesses. You can't hire new people and all that. You understand? That's now put that in a bigger in a bigger picture of Namibia. And in Namibia case now, this dividend payment to foreign investors, it also jumped significantly. According to the report, it jumped significantly. Year on year, they rose by 58.4%. 58.4%. And compared to the previous quarter, they were up by 3%. So that it also going up. This dividend payment to foreign investment is also going up. So there's so much money going out. So now, while we are seeing less money coming in for the new projects, more of the existing profit that we have are being sent abroad, are really being sent abroad. And that is a double trouble for our economy. That is a double trouble for our economy. That's a lack of a better word anyway. So, and you wonder why there is a higher unemployment rate in the country. Because the money is not reinvested in the country. There's a big chunk of the money that actually goes out. And it does, it increases. 58.4%. So I want you to think deep, really. Now, let's consider the bigger picture, okay? So despite this drop in a net inflows, Namibia total foreign liabilities, that is the total amount of money owed to foreigners, whether through investment or loans, actually increases. So by the end of June, and these are all in the report, please, you know, make sure that you get this report and read the report. So by the end of June this year, it stood at now that the foreign liabilities, the total foreign liabilities. So that is owed, the amount of money owed to foreigners. So, and as I said, that's also actually increased. It's also increasing. So, and by the end of June this year, it stood at 307.3 billion. It's not me who's saying it. Go to the report. You know, that's up 1.4% from the previous quarter and a significant 7.9 increase from a year ago. Oh, I love data. I love numbers. So they speak loud. They speak loud. And our gross external debt, and our gross external debt, that also went up, reaching 184.2 billion. Whoa, 184.2 billion. So the Bank of Namibia says this is mainly to do due to more borrowing between companies within the same global group, especially in mining and transport, and also a new trade credit from foreign suppliers. That's what the report says. 184.2 billion. That's our external debt. So we have a situation where the FDI, the investment that's supposed to bring in new businesses, new technologies, and long-term jobs, is shrinking. Well, according to this quarter, according to the report of this quarter, maybe it's going to change in the next quarter. You don't know. So this thing sometimes unpredictable, but it's shrinking. Half, it went into half compared to the last quarter. But the total amount of money we owe to foreigners and the overall debt is also growing. That's what the report says. And that raises a question, my dear people. It does. It should raise a question. You should be able to raise a question about that. So the investment that's supposed to bring in new businesses, new technology, and create long-term jobs, it's actually going, it's falling down. It's falling down, according to the report, is shrinking. But you also think the total amount of money we owe to foreigners and the overall debt is also growing. What is going on? What is going on? Are we becoming more reliant on borrowing? Okay, take that. Are we becoming more reliant on borrowing rather than actually attracting genuine long-term investment for growth? That's a question. Think about this. Because from looking at those two things, it doesn't really create confidence. So, and hopefully, we hope that maybe in the next quarter things change. But from what we see now, it doesn't create, but it's looking as if, when you're thinking about this, and those of you guys that are in these sectors, that are money, whatever, economists and all that, are we becoming more reliant on borrowing rather than actually now, as we're talking about FDI, in attracting genuine long-term kind of investment for growth that actually create growth? Well, that's for you to answer. That's for you to think about. And if companies are in, let's say for example, the oil and gas companies now, think also this, okay? I want you also to think about this. If companies are in appraisal and data evaluation phase, let's grant that. So especially when it comes to oil companies, if they are in appraisal and data evaluation for years, because this doesn't take 2 months or 3 months or 4 months or something. It's like for years, as the oil sector seem to be, they seem to be in their appraisal and data evaluation for years. So what does that mean for the immediate economic benefit we are expecting? So in the meantime, we also expecting, economic benefit, some kind of immediate economic benefit. What happened? What does that mean now for this, for the immediate economic benefit? while we are waiting for appraisal and data evaluation phase and which actually, as I said, it doesn't seem to take like 3 months or 4 months or 5 months, take years. So, and that's the question, are we investing in our future or are we just waiting around? Are we just waiting around? Now, let bring in some perspective, okay? Let's do some digging, okay? So Namibia has, in the past, been a magnet for mining. You know, we're like a magnet, you know, from foreign investors for mining and exploration. Now, we saw, you know, this boom, you know, I'm lack of a better word, this sprung of FDI a few years back, partly fueled by the discovery of oil in Orange Basin. That brought an excitement and promises of jobs and economic transformations, you know. But economics is a cycle, you know. What goes up can come down. Okay? What goes up can come down. And there's an example. For instance, in the past, we have seen FDI levels fluctuate. So we have seen that. Between 2015 and 2019, we saw a significant FDI inflows, largely driven by mining sectors. Then there was a dip. It's only the oil, you know, sprung, brought it back up. It was only the oil discoveries and things that actually, you know, brought it back up. So the current situation shows that relying too heavily on one or two sectors, especially those with long lead times like oil exploration, I think can make our economy vulnerable to these swings when things changes. And you never, nobody tells you in 100% that some of these companies will actually, their final decision investment would be favorable. Nobody can tell you for certain. So that their final investment decision would be favorable. So, and think about this also. And what about the 5.1 billion in income? 5.1 billion in income paid out to foreign direct investment in just one quarter. Eh? In just one quarter, 5.1 billion in one quarter. That's a lot of money leaving our shores. That's a lot of money leaving our country. Eh? 5.1 billion. Now you could ask, could some of this money or could some of that, could that have been retained and reinvested here, creating more opportunity for Namibians? That's a question. That's a fair question, isn't it? And this is where the debate about local ownership, as I said earlier on, this is where now the debate about local ownership and benefit sharing get really important. This is where it gets really important. You may have actually investors that you can say how many investors that we actually bring in. And we were with some report. I don't know which report is that. Say Namibia was actually the, some index, I need to find out. Some index shows that Namibia was number one in Africa, you know, and actually second in the world in a certain period. Just something to, I will look at it, okay? So in terms of attracting investors. So it's because of the oil discoveries and things like that. So we were actually, at this point in time, I think, you know, probably maybe gone a bit down, I don't know, but we can celebrate, but how do that, you know, the question I'm asking is that when you're looking at this, a lot of amount of money that is leaving our country, you know, to pay the foreign direct investors. And imagine 5.1 billion in a quarter, just in a quarter. That's massive. And that's why I'm asking, could this some of this money have, couldn't this some of this money maybe retained and reinvest here so that we create more opportunities for our people? It's the nature of investment that we have. And I said, this is where the debate of local ownership and benefit sharing becomes really important. So we often hear from government officials and business leaders emphasizing the importance of attracting FDI. Okay? It is important. Well, no doubt about it. It is very important. There's no doubt about it. But the Bank of Namibia's report shine a little light on the nature of that FDI and where the benefits are truly accruing. Who's accruing the benefit from this FDI? It's the foreign. It's the foreign investors. They come, they extract, and they get their mullah. All what we do is help them dig. That's all what we do. We help them. Yeah, we get a job. Help us dig. Yes, we help them dig, you know, and then we get a little bit here. But eventually, who wins? From this report, I'm not exaggerating. So I'm mainly just making a bit witty, as I said, you know. So we help them dig, and they give us something by helping them dig, and then they accrued all the benefit. So now the question is, are we attracting investment that transform our economy? Really? Or investment that primarily extract resources and profit? So they come, they extract the profit, they extract the resources and profit. From the report, that's exactly what it is. Oh, unless you, as I said, you guys are more, some of you are in this area, so you're most welcome. But I'm just analyzing the report. Are we attracting investment that transform our country? Or investment that primarily extract resources and profit? That's what we see, and that's what the report is actually highlighting. So what are the implications of this FDI, you know, falling down or crashing, whatever the word you use. We lack some of us lack those financial words. Now, first, job creation could slow down. Looking at the implication, what would the implication? Job creation could slow down. Less investment often means fewer new jobs. Fewer new projects. So, and fewer new projects means fewer job opportunities. So this is a concern, especially with our current unemployment figures. It is a concern. It should be a concern. So the other implication, what could be the implication? It could impact government revenue. So while taxes from current operation continue, so the one that are still here will continue actually taxing them, a slowdown in a new investment can affect future, you know, tax bases. It can affect future tax bases and economic growth. So which ultimately then fuels government what? Government income for public services. These things are entwined. Is there a word entwined? No. It's intertwined, if you like. They intertwine. So we may looking at, as I said, stick around. This may have implication on your pocket, on your service that you get. So, and what other implication? It could also affect our overall economic growth trajectory. It could affect that. The FDI is a key engine for economic expansion because it's bringing in capital, it bringing in technology, it bringing in the expertise. So that trajectory may slow down. So a slowdown here can translate to a slowdown, can translate into a slow GDP growth. So it does have implications. So, yeah, what do you think? What do you think could this actually affect? Yeah? What do you think this could affect? So what is your thought on this, fallen FDI inflow has dropped significantly in the second quarter of 2025? Now, you can come through and have your thoughts. Our telephone number is 08333-66091. So you are welcome now to come through and have your thoughts.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. She goes a fastana, na longishifa, ya, she wikemoshiwana. E. Moyao, or Tangongotisamweni. Ana gishifa, yanamibia, ombitombanawa, orangeka. Seithanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Ikelefem Media House. Way 20 Pimeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara onkwashi paregi uimepo yo mo programa letu. Moambo, lengera selma, konarahita tuimu. Datundatu, heari jamano tano, oaniaj. Ikel FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Ikel FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning. It's a Monday morning. And, well, it's not always, for me, it's always, Monday is always, I don't know why people feel Monday is the blue Monday. For me, it's never been blue Monday. It's always a green Monday. You know, unless I'm sick, you know. All right. Good morning. Good morning. And I love data. I love data. So yeah, we're looking at the report, at the quarterly report from the, from the Bank of Namibia. And when you look at, this is not just a dry economic report. It's a snapshot of our nation economic health. When you go into that, it's a snapshot to give you now how healthy our economy. So what do you think? So I'm waiting for your thoughts. Should we be more concerned about the oil sector slowdown? Should we be concerned about that? Or are there other sectors we should be actively encouraging to invest in Namibia? So, well, those are things that we can look at. Okay. So what we have discussed so far, Namibia's net FDI, foreign direct investment inflows, have dropped significantly, in the second quarter of 2025, mainly due to reduced activity in oil sectors and an increased loan repayment. Okay, those are the main things. So there has been reduced activity in oil sectors, and I'm saying maybe because of the appraisal period or phase that maybe these companies are going through, and also any increased loan repayment. So we're paying back. All right? So more profit are being sent out. Yeah? So more profit are being sent out of the country to foreign shareholder than before. When you compare that, it's actually kind of like, give us our money. You know, it has increased. So, and despite this, our overall foreign liabilities and debt have increased as well, suggesting a reliance. What is suggesting? It's suggesting a reliance on borrowing rather than new investment. So, one can look at that as well. So, and this trend raises question about long-term economic growth. So, and job creation, and who truly benefit from the foreign investment. Igor Feb, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you? How was your weekend?
I'm great.
All right. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yeah, thank you for welcoming me.
Yeah, we're dishing out more money out, you know, rather than actually benefiting from foreign investment.
Yeah, you might remember, or one might remind you of the policy we had.
Yeah.
During the first government we had, of Sam Nujoma, the cabinet, where he had a strict policy whereby he said foreigners are not allowed to open companies here.
Yeah.
And then we had a growth of economy of about 6.6 there around.
Yeah.
With no borrowing. We didn't borrow any money. We were depending on what we have on the tables.
Mm.
So when people goes to foreign whatever, what do you expect? That is what we get.
Yeah.
Because we just have to go back to that one, but it's going to be very difficult for us to go there now.
It is. It's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, people tend to think that when things is in place, it's wrong, and what they actually believe is right and whatever, but not considering that you are not a competitive.
Is foreign direct investment is the way to actually grow your economy, or there could be other ways?
Not for small countries like Namibia. Not for small countries like Namibia. In which sectors can we compete with who?
Yeah.
You see. Let me give you an example, in construction industry.
Yeah.
A tender comes in of about 80 million to construct a school.
Mm.
Now, when you build a school, it's not an intact structure.
Yeah.
It's a structure that is actually apart from each other. You have ablution block, which could be consist or which could account to 3 to 4 million. You have classroom blocks.
Yeah.
That four of them, and they are maybe about 10. Now, one classroom for four class in a lane.
Yeah.
It's about 1.8 to 2 million. And then you have a dining kitchen, you have a halls. All those things are separate. And they have their own a budget.
Yeah.
And you find people saying this job is just only going to be given by one company. And that company is going to be an international company, mostly the Chinese company. Instead of saying, okay, it's 70 million. Or 80 millions.
Mm.
Why don't we put, 6 companies there? SME companies or Namibian company
that
is willing to participate in that project. And then we make sure that at least, and then maybe the 20% of the other or 15% is given to the internet, because sometimes now we can no longer walk away from them. We have to accommodate them.
But they will think that...
Just let me just finish.
Mm.
And then gave the 20%, let me say 80 millions.
Mm.
Now you give 20,000 project to that one, and now you are left with 60. Now 60, you give it to the SMEs,
yeah,
companies that belong to Namibia, 100% Namibians. The 20% you give it to them because these are separate blocks.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that the reason to do that is to actually make sure that at least 25% or 30% of the profit remains in the country.
Yeah.
That will enable you to circulate throughout the country in terms of business transactions, and then it goes back to the government.
Yeah, exactly.
But this, you see, but this tenders, whole tender is actually given by the Chinese. And look at what the Chinese does. What the Chinese does is that they make sure that most of the materials coming from China.
China? It's much cheaper? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, steels, bricks, they buy from... the fellow Chinese here.
Yeah.
Don't you think they make profit? Where do that profit goes? To China.
Exactly.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, you it's only laborers that are going to get money from there. And it's not all the laborers, because Chinese, they also have their laborers now here.
Yeah.
They are allowed. They do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
You see, this is what killed us. No. Now going back to the policies of Sam Nujoma, whereby it says, no, a Chinese engineer must be employed by a Namibian company and be paid on a contract basis. That is what he was actually stopping. We have gone away from that. Look at what they have done to Pesima. Doctors here.
Mm.
The reason why we have foreign doctors and foreign engineers, they were actually brought here by Sam Nujoma.
Yeah.
But they were not allowed to set up their own company or hospital or something like that.
They were working
under the contract. And the main aim there was to transfer skill to the locals.
Yeah.
We have completely moved away from there, and now we are wondering what is happening to us.
Mm.
We run direct investor. Maybe they will change. They are here for money. They are not here for you.
Yeah. You're right. Eh? Mm. Definitely.
They are here for competing.
Yeah.
But are you adequate enough to compete with the internationals?
Yeah.
You being a previously disadvantaged countries in terms of economy.
Yeah.
Are you?
You are not in the position.
You know, sometimes
actually,
we say, these people, they don't have schools, they didn't study these economies and what and what.
Yeah.
I have told you the other times that this whole systems, once you go out of your own systems and then go and believe what they are actually telling you on the other side, you will completely fail.
Mm.
This public-private partnership, free market.
Yeah.
Let me tell you one example. Look at what the Rani group is doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where do you think that money goes? They have got over to 60 retailers of product that Namibians are able to do.
Yeah.
You see? What was the policy? You are not going to sell something that Namibians are able to do.
Mm.
If you allow them, set an incentive taxi.
Yeah.
Say, okay, out of your profit, you're going to give us at least 15% of your profit.
Yeah.
And these are the minimum wage that you have to pay our workers. Nothing like that. What do they do? Because they have got more money, they buy up everything, like now.
Mm.
They might have put an order of about 80 million, buying for all their retailers.
Yeah.
Now, for a small company that is going there, you are not going to get anything at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You are actually forced to go to them and buy from them, not from the main company.
But from them.
Because they have bought everything up, and that is how they make profit.
Exactly.
They don't make profit when they buy.
Mm.
They make profit because they buy on bulk, and they got discount.
Yeah.
So a local company cannot compete.
Yeah.
Because they are selling a beer of $17, a beer, draft, $17, 750 millimeters,
yeah.
$17. You want to make profit, you are selling on $19 to $20 to $25.
Mm.
How are you going to compete with them? So, and this is the reason why we are actually having the whole economy is in the hand of the foreigner.
Yeah.
And then we don't realize that. You can't govern a country with no power. What is power? Is when you control your monetary system. Is when you control your economy.
Yeah.
This is the problem that we are having in this country. And people does not realize these kind of things. And when are we going to realize?
Mm.
And this is the reason why I ask, why do we have leaders coming in and going out, and all of them, they actually run to Europe or to America in search of investors, while we have got investors here.
Yep,
we have them already here. Yeah,
that's actually
and they
the
do not pose any impact in our economy.
Yeah. The DDI, domestic direct investment. So why don't we actually give them opportunity and build capacity of our own investors?
Of course.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that? Now, that policy of Sam Nyoma was exactly based on that.
Yeah.
And they abolished it. I still cry for that man because he is the only with the backbone that has actually up at us.
Mm.
He carried us. He carried us.
Yeah.
Today, we have nobody to cry to. We are not going to jump on conclusion to just start and judge now of the current leadership because it's still now new. We are actually waiting of what policies are they going to form or either formulate to actually see whether there will be something
that,
for us
that
to benefit.
Will make a difference in the lives of the people. Yeah.
Mm. Obviously.
Yeah.
Let me give the chances to others to comment.
All right. No, thanks, sir. Thanks for
thank
coming
you very
through
much.
And for your comments and for your contribution.
All right. Thank you very
morning.
Much.
Great.
Sure. Mm.
All right. Yeah, that's the questions. Those are the questions. And guys, and my dear listeners, you know, when you really go deeper into this, you know, into some of this report, the informations are there. It tells you exactly what is going on. It tells you, as I said, this is a snapshot of the economic health of our country. You know, and the nature of the foreign investment that we are attracting, and what are the policies that we have in place, as he was talking about the policy of Sam Nyoma at the beginning, so that's where we are, and no matter how much you cry, unemployment, and unless certain things change dramatically. Unless certain systems, certain policy changes, there's nothing happen. There will nothing happen. Eh? So, yeah. And how do you think? What do you think? Our telephone number is 08333-66091, 08333-66091. Should we be more concerned? And I'm saying, should we be more concerned about the whole thing is that the Bank of Namibia is pointing out to the sector, is pointing out to the oil sectors in terms of slowing down. Should we be concerned about that? So are there other sectors we should be actively encouraging to invest in Namibia? But then we also have to know, we also have to kind of looking at the policy we have in place. Is it the policy that allows foreigners to extract resources and benefits, or that actually benefit Namibians? A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Dr. Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, man. And yourself?
I'm okay, Dr. Mike.
Hopefully you have a good weekend.
Yeah, the weekend was so good.
Yeah.
We are having on top now. Arsenal is leading.
Now we don't worry. We are coming. We are also coming.
You're also coming.
We
man.
Are coming. Man United is coming. Don't worry.
Yeah. Okay, you are with a wounded lion.
We are wounded next lion.
With a wounded lion next week.
Yeah.
Liverpool.
Damn. We'll beat them. Don't worry.
That will be a messy derby. We will see. Okay, anyways.
Yeah.
My friend, it's really sad when you are hearing from the last caller.
Yeah.
That there used to be a policy of that there's no foreigner supposed to do what the Namibian supposed able to do.
Yeah.
Then now you're wondering what happened.
So it's been abolished.
Who changed this?
So even if it's there, the thing is that even if it's there, it just people just have a blind eye on it. They just completely ignoring it.
Nobody's forcing it.
Yeah, there's no enforcement about it. So even if it's there, because I don't necessarily think that it's abolished per se and the new law in place, it's just that nobody actually, you know, follow it anymore.
But Mike, for me, I think the mess start with the second president. From there, because I'm not that too old to know better, but I'm telling you, when the founding father was there, thing it was moving. You can see the business people getting even, some they even get loan or whatever, some unfunded what, enough.
Yeah, but also, we also have to be fair. It's like a wedding, you know? So there's that honeymoon period. It was a honeymoon period. We have many, you know, I think we couldn't do anything wrong by then. We just got independence. I think there were things that we were trying to do it right. You were outside of the country. Now you want to be seen really doing things in the right directions until we get comfortable.
No, but things are about to be tough when we are with the founding father.
Yeah, until we get comfortable.
If you are able to grow economy 6%, do you think we are saying now we are talking now? Do you think we are going good there? Are we going to reach that target again?
It's very difficult.
Very, very. I'm telling you, we have to work in miracle way.
Yeah.
Because the way I'm seeing things here, you know, the last call I was talking about even tenders.
Yeah.
I was a victim of that. Between a Zimbabwean and the Chinese.
Yeah.
There's a school which we constructed, Chuarongo. I was a subcontractor.
Subcontractor, yeah.
Yeah. Who win it is a Zimbabwean guy. Engineer is working as the Minister of Transport.
Yeah.
Now, as a Namibian, just imagine, the person who is in charge is a Chinese. Then the name which is there is a Chinese, but the person who is behind is a Zimbabwean.
Yeah.
Just imagine. As a Namibian, just imagine a block itself is 15,000. Take it or leave it as a Namibian. Just imagine how the block is big. I'm telling you, we did it in the Chuarongo. The new school, everybody know maybe the school I'm talking about.
Block 15,000.
15,000 is not a joke. Take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Then just imagine you're having works. We have to work for you.
Exactly. I can't imagine. What do you do with it?
Like enough for me, it was working because now I ever saw the, plumbing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But serious, I'm telling
but
you.
But
no,
still, I believe one
thing is not supposed to be
you work. You work on the loss, really.
No, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And this is what is happening. It's what I'm saying. They kill our industry where we're supposed to benefit in Namibia.
Wouldn't you have a value up to half flashing it take up 15,000 to build?
My bro, man. Don't talk to her. It could open with a broker girl, then they were all broke. 15,000. They take it or leave it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. I think we have 3 or 4 days. They will tell, everybody will tell you. We come crying, my friend. Just imagine that guy for Zimbabwe and he's always traveling up and down. It's what I'm saying about my guys, everybody's they are here for their own country. Patriotic to their country. Not you. For you, even a Zimbabwean is married a Namibian.
Yeah.
Why are you having to give a post for that big as a director or engineer oversight to in the Minister of Transport? And it's what is happening there. Nekunji, or he needs also to clean up his house. You cannot just go ahead. We see him everywhere, but I'm telling you, the dirty work is in the Minister of Transport.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. That's why we are Namibian. We are, every time we are calling here, they say thing, we are homophobic or whatever the word is they use. But seriously, we see things are happening in the ground.
Yeah. The sad part is that we see billions and billions coming into the country in terms of investment. And sometimes you can't touch the difference that they've made. You understand?
Exactly.
And as we see here, the situation where FDI now, the investment that's supposed to bring in new businesses, new technology or long-term jobs, they are actually shrinking in the way now from this report, you know?
I'm telling you.
But the total amount of money we owe to foreigners and the overall debt is also growing.
It's growing every day, Mike. Mike, if you look, man, the way we are going to get loans.
Yeah.
The loans, they come in. Okay? Now, we said you get a loan from the China. Then they give you a condition even.
Of course.
you have to give to our people.
Yeah, you're first in the corner. You're first in the corner.
In the corner. Yeah. Now, just imagine, you give the Chinese, you give a loan for the Chinese. The Chinese is the one who detect you as you need to embrace people. And the material, all the machinery, everything from the China. Now, as a country, what do you benefit? Even though you're still owing the Chinese.
That's what he said.
You need to pay it back with interest even.
No wonder why we have unemployment, higher unemployment.
Yeah. And then we are complaining. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then we are complaining like this. It's like we cannot see our problem where we are heading.
Yeah.
We need to do something. You can talk about foreign indirect investment. They can come in, but there will be no change because you are sitting on the policy.
Yeah, but if it's coming, look, I was talking this morning, actually, I said about 5.1 billion in a quarter that is actually going out.
Just imagine.
In a quarter.
If you check even the Namibian newspaper today.
Yeah.
People are owing like what? Government workers. 2.7 billion for Indapro. That one for loan. Just imagine.
Yeah.
We are talking about even able-bodied working people. Yeah. And the problem, borrowing is good if you are investing in that.
Of course.
To do something.
If you grow business.
But if you are using for consumption, buying your crop or putting petrol in the car, seriously, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Because this person is still, you still owe with that person with interest even.
Yeah.
In the same way you are doing for our country.
Yeah.
Come on, we cannot continue this way. We need to change. If the founding father is able to come up with a policy that no foreign support will owe a business here, where Namibian can be able to do it. But I'm telling you today, that's why you see these guys are selling bloom everywhere. You see the Angolian, they are selling sausage everywhere.
Mm.
You see. So we are not really, it's what I'm saying. Every country, they have to protect their industry.
No, that's what the tariff is all about in US.
Exactly.
That's what it's all about.
But in our country we are not doing it.
Mm.
Go, do you think I can just stand up here and then I go to even just here Sandakara?
Yeah.
As a Namibian. Then I end up selling even my friend. Kapepo Kunari. Fikwekolo.
Yeah.
That is the day you are going to learn that there's a Kapepo in Angola.
Yeah.
Hey Mala, I'm telling you here. Yeah. We allow them. That's why I'm saying, we're also allowing a lot of people to flock to Namibia without visa, without what? Just imagine even you are talking about what? African free trade.
Yeah.
Do you think we are able to keep up? Nigeria is a big market, my friend.
Just imagine
Nigeria, 20 Nigerians are coming to Namibia with their billionaire monies.
Yeah, but that's exactly those and other things that we don't look at that. Okay, free trade areas. It's a good idea, but what then you make it more free?
To kill us.
And then,
it's to kill us because then, we never establish ourselves.
Yeah, because as you cry for the Chinese that they bring in stuff here that we have already, other African countries may do the same thing.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I'm telling
and
you.
And that's why you have xenophobia in South Africa. It's always thinking, you know, they are taking up our jobs, they are taking up our whatever, you know. Eh? So
and this is what is happening when it comes to health. I'm telling you that most of the doctors which you see here are foreigners.
Yeah.
Who are working part-time in the hospital. I mean, working in a full-time hospital, supposed to be, but they are having part-time in their way for what. And I don't know why we are allowing those things to happen.
Apo uneka ndati tueni kona mibi okuno mpofi.
Yeah, kuno mpofi nai.
Kuno mpofi pinyaman, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm having a cousin who studied in Harare.
Yeah.
I am Borowaya. But it's telling you that, no, even if you're hungry then you want to sell your phone. My friend, unless you have a Zimbabwean friend who can sell it for you.
Yeah.
If you just try to do that, so people even put in the what on Facebook that you are selling, the police already have to deal with you.
You see?
But here we are allowing everything. They are the one handling even with their 5 years old kids.
Yeah.
Then we don't see it as wrong. When is the person 5 years old to legit a business or able to pay social security or able to pay taxi? But we don't see nothing wrong with that.
Mm.
That person, if in another country, is supposed to be expelled. Yeah. You're supposed to be deported. But here, things have been done and nobody. But if you are, it was done by a Namibian, everybody's crying about Sapra, what. But why didn't talk about that Zimbabwean guy?
Yeah.
No, man, things need to be changed, my friend, man.
Yeah.
Let's... Then everything we think is normal.
Mm.
What, let us apply the rules, what they are, the where they come from.
Mm.
In Chinese, you cannot do that. You're able to have a tender, but everything you are not buying from local, you are buying from outside, from your country.
Yeah.
Well, they will not allow you.
Definitely not.
All right.
Okay, man. Thank you for your contribution this morning.
Okay, my brother.
Great. Yeah, 08333-66091, 08333-66091. Earlier on, I also talked about the implication of this. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bom dia, meu primo, minha família.
Ah, mindo, mindo, bem.
Como que vai andando ali? Obrigado, aqui estamos bem.
So how are you, man?
I'm doing fine, thanks, how are you?
I'm all right.
Guys, I think you guys are too aggressive on patriotic. What's the problem?
We are too aggressive.
Yes, guys,
no, we are aggressive in terms of that we allow this FDI that it takes out a lot of money out of our country and leave us empty.
No, yes, I think the system is wrong. We just need to redo the system. We should learn from each other.
You know what? You know? We come to a point where we don't just want to hear, we want to see, you know. I think many people now have come to a point where we don't just want to hear that we're going to do what and what. We want to see. We want now to be part of to be on the table as well, you know.
It's a good thing, but, you know, sometimes you're not good on using money. Sometimes you're not good on, you don't have enough material, or let me say, tractors to whatever to do, even a big project.
Yeah.
But if somebody is maybe a foreigner who have those equipment, then look, partner up with him. See what can you learn from him?
Give it to a Namibian, see what they come up with. Maybe they are the one who have now to do what work in cooperation with a foreign company to say, well, help me with your machines and I will pay you for your machine, but I'm still actually doing the job. That's still possible.
You know how we are, my brother. You know how we are.
Yeah.
It's okay. But you can try and still, but you know, you later on you blame yourself. Why? You know, let us just learn from each other. Like my brother, the last caller saying, like, if you go to Angola, you're going to say anything. But who tell him like that? You're going to say anything in Angola. People at the bank, they're buying with four tanks in their cars in Chicago.
Yeah.
And who report them? The Namibians, not even Angolans. Namibians.
Yeah.
Who come up with this policy? No, but it's a Namibia. You know, it's them, not the Angolans. you know, you really, you should just let us come down and see what can we do. But in the other thing, sometimes when you have a good leader, there's a leader who come to the state, they just want to destroy. There's a leader who come there, they want to build the way he's doing is very well. Maybe I think he's having the late president's number. Maybe
I think sometimes there is a difference. There is a misunderstanding when you focus on issues.
Yes.
And really, discuss issues and said, this is what happening. It has nothing to do with the leader. You understand? So,
yes.
And sometimes this is where we inflected, you know, things by, if people are complaining about issues, then people think that the leader is not good. But that's not the case. You know, so it's looking at these are the issues and maybe this is how, and sometimes when you have, would you love to have people who are not happy and they just quiet and you really, and at one point they may just bust out. You never know. I would prefer people who complain because I know what they are complaining and maybe I can do something.
It's very difficult to silence a hungry man.
Exactly.
Yes. And I have a doctor appointment. Maybe the one calling you now. Let me hang up and answer this one quickly.
Thank you for coming through.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. And I think this is one thing that people should really understand. You know, when you focus on issues, unless you speak directly and said, Meme Netumbo is not doing what and what, that's something else. But if you're talking about issues, it's nothing really have to do with the leader. Of course, in a way he does, but.
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you, Uncle Bona?
Fine. Thank you. How are you too?
I'm fine.
Yes. I agree with you.
Yeah.
On the point that yes, some of this money generated by most of these big companies remain in the country to contribute to the domestic economy.
Yeah.
And, yes. Now, maybe just briefly, 2 points. The issue, if I look at a reframe on the interview you had with Yona Mseko, somebody that I have interacted with also, and the visions and all this structure that he's talking about in terms of industrialization, especially in the context of green iron, that they are producing.
Iron ore, aluminium,
And he is saying that I think he's just talking the same thing the other time me and you attended a lecture on this green where they were presenting their audit. That every budget, every line ministerial budget, whether it's in fact not only the ministerial, because there are many people who or many organizations or entities that get their funding from the government. It's all state-owned enterprise and all these other things.
Definitely.
And we have heard that every dollar, and then that every dollar, I think the formula is still there. So, and we have heard from Mseko recently last week that, yes, the construction, for example, the installation of solar panel, for you to get even this independent power producer, I think I'm not so sure whether he's still emphasizing on those things in his writing and many other those articles that you're talking about. And we are told that the massive jobs, if we say, for example, so he actually said that they are also putting up an assembly for solar manufacturing and all these other things. So now, you couple it with the conversation that you had with the governor of Wangwena, the governor for Anguena. The house he was lying, the road map, map, or map, I don't know which one is correct.
You could be a British or American, doesn't matter.
Then I put now Squajama there, and then things now get.
Some say map, accident. Some say map. Yeah,
but I still, some of them say, imagine, yeah. Imagine. We used to laugh to each other. This one is saying, hey, this Squajama, this is Garajera. So imagine. So now, when you look at, or maybe we should also reference or remind ourselves on her, speech. What was it? Your dialogue that you have with her.
Mm.
So, and she laid down some good plans there.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah.
And now this one is, I understand, it's true. These are challenges. And I don't know whether it was you who mentioned that when you have challenges, then those plans must be translated now into opportunity.
Yeah.
Economic opportunity or social welfare or whatever kind of things. So, and we are hearing that there are a lot of schools to be, even when you look at this digital infrastructure, when we are following these things, because these are grounds, rules, these are legal instruments, and the vacuum that is there for us now to take opportunity. How are we? Because I still need to be convinced more.
Yeah.
So that especially those who come from the IT, the APSAN, where I came from. I think somehow we are failing to understand and appreciate this opportunity that are coming.
Mm.
So the youth maybe, I know the numbers of some different regions, they have taken up all these things, but there are still those ones within our community and the villages there.
Yeah.
They also want to contribute to their schools because their schools are also expanding in their community.
Exactly.
So the agriculture, infrastructure, water infrastructure, you might not have that capacity like the Bank of, what is it, this international or monetary institution that you were talking about, or was it maybe the other
David?
Son of mine? I think it's that son of mine there. So now, so the foreign direct investment, so we are told you are number one.
No.
Why are we number one? In which areas? And yesterday I was listening to Professor, I'm concluding now.
Yeah.
Professor Lumbumba here, I was talking about, and they were having a very good conversation. I don't know who was supposed to be at Eagle FM, and they decided to give us those very important lecture. And if that we are the first now, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Because we are not the first in attractive in Africa or wherever. And then you do not have those opportunities.
Yeah, that was in the, what was that thing? It's called the Green Height, 2025 Greenfield FDI Performance Index of 2025. Yeah, we were first in Africa, second and globally. Yeah.
And you see, even though that those rankings, because people were even questioning those rankings, NUDU or whatever, who are actually building from the primary data that are being gathered in all our documents that indicates which area is more potential, has the potential to absorb maybe youth and all these things. So it's good. If you have that ranking now, what are you going to do with that? Because that also tells you that in terms of social development, in terms of political development, in terms of economic development and growth and all these other things,
yeah,
by utilizing those natural resources that are there. Yes, the ones that have been extracted and then shipped out. But you also have some legal instrument that tells you that you should not do that. And this thing has been pronounced time and again, and you know, all over and over.
All right.
So if those who are doing that, that means they are not complying.
Exactly.
There could be some perception, exception. You know, those can be exempted depending on their grounds, that their justification and things like that. So thank you very much, Mike. Please, let's take up opportunity on those things.
Yeah.
When we come now, we say, fine, those who are an artisan, if you are a plumber, if you have done welding and fabrication, all these things, let's go and look for those young ones who are in our community, who have done those courses, and they might not also have the technical know-how and how to go about, and then start doing something, what Museko and all these people are saying.
All right.
Good.
Thanks for coming through.
Welcome, sir. Mm-hmm.
08333-66091 All right. The drop, maybe let the FDI surge before the dip. So there was the drop of 6.8 billion must be viewed. Must be viewed in the light of the, I think, you know, in the light of the outpouring proceeding, preceded it, you know. Over the past 4 years, Namibia has been experiencing in the the unprecedented inflow of foreign capital. Let's get to the caller quickly.
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Hey, good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Mm. Mild day.
Where are you actually? Are you in Wavish Bay or are you in Windhoek?
No, I'm in Wavish Bay for now.
Oh, okay.
I'm in Soko, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't think we are understanding quite enough for this article, because
the report, yeah.
On the look of things, do Namibians have product that he producing so for just a local company that are selling some other country's product?
Mm.
Because it is no different to buy from Popovic than to import material from China.
Yeah.
Because the material that's in Popovic is from South Africa.
Yeah.
Right? So why do you have to convince a Chinese to go buying those products?
Mm.
So those are the problems. And our founding president says investing foreign direct investment.
Yeah. So just the previous quarter, the quarter that we're looking at, about 5.1 billion in income had been paid out to foreign direct investment. Doesn't that tell something, really?
Yeah, it tells something, but the issue is that in terms of paying out those ones,
yeah,
on which field are they paying out? Is they paying out to the engineers? Is they paying out in the loan?
Especially in mining and transport. Mm.
Yeah, you see, mining, most of these participants, they are not Namibians.
Yeah.
So that is the problem. Some of those transport, if you look at the one that is taking things from SAS, they're South African companies.
Mm.
Yeah, those transport companies, they're South African trucks. So you have to pay the certain invoice to South Africa.
Yeah.
And also when it comes to those transporting manuals to the sea, it's not a Namibian vessel.
Mm.
So those are the type of things that you need to look at. As I said, this country is attracting more people because you have no computer.
Mm.
You understand? When you are coming here to set up in your shop or any service that you are giving, you are just alone.
Yeah.
Then to go to South Africa where you're finding 5 or 20 local companies that are doing the same as the one. So it's going to be a good attract. And this is not the failure for the Pohamba era or the Hage era,
rest in peace, and the Nemenetumbo. It was Sam Nyoma who bring up these people. And remember, that's why Nyoma making millions of dollars because of the foreign direct investment. When they come in, they bring up more products, they increasing more revenue because of trading, until those guys can get the opportunity to flocking in the market also. I mean, in the local market that we're supposed to be given by Namibian.
Yeah, but you're just saying the opposite of what the other person was saying, that the president, the Sam Nyoma, is the one who actually, you know, insisting on that. There shouldn't be any company coming out when those products.
Why I'm diving this is because for these Namibians that he can have opportunity to do those activities.
Yeah,
they are the one that is running away from me, because they don't want into keeping up with this foreign direct investment. They don't understand the chain.
Yeah.
If you look at Metro, what he was doing those years, and if you look at what Chinatown was doing those years, people were coming to buying in Chinatown, but it doesn't make sense. I'm bringing up 10,000 tons of battery,
yeah.
But you are coming to buying 100 kg.
Mm.
Because I bring up these tons because I want people that are buying tons. Mm. So at the end of the day, I have to go to the police and say, you know, implement it for me to distribute this myself, or to setting up the shops myself so that I can make money out of it.
Mm.
You see now, I'm paying the customs to bring up those things in. So it doesn't say, does the president have anything to do with it? Yes. It helped because they didn't keep up on the police to protecting those guys.
Yeah,
and the other thing is not that protection, as I say, we got the money to do things as we do it on the business plan, and we go buying Grand Cruise.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, that gap that you live there, it's where the foreigner are fitting in.
Yeah.
So those are the things. That's why the foreigners now, they are working, they are committed to those 5 years in service in the government, and then get the opportunity to do business. Because there is still opportunity that Namibian doctors are not opening up in the private practice.
Yeah.
So who is fault is that? And who is now? Because the service that I'm talking about to say, okay, it was paying out in $1.1 billion to paying foreigners. Because the people that were supposed to help these investors, they are not ready in the country. Those are where we are failing to understand things.
Yeah.
So it's not that there is any wrongdoing here. It's that, do we have a past pain that we wanting to venture on the battery assembly or on the solar assembly or on anything, for us to forcing those companies that don't buying batteries or don't bring batteries here, we have already a company that you can. It's the same, and the competition is also good. If you look at your Orongo Salmon and Sam Salmon, now the Orongo Salmon and Chita Salmon, they are the one that is demonstrated in the market.
Mm.
Because of what? Because they were protected by the government. You are also needing to do that. When you know that, okay, I'm doing textile here. When I'm doing textile for this, and the government allowing those Indians to bring up their textile here, I'll go to the government and say, no, why you guys told me to set up a textile here in Namibia? Now you are bringing up another one that is...
The same thing, yeah.
So those are the things that you have a problem with. There is no problem here. And the business is that it doesn't need to favor your brother just because for the sake of saying he's a constructor or he's a plumber. What if he's doing it wrong? And that is what we have all Namibians now are complaining that, no, giving the Chinese tender. to construct this infrastructure of the road and all of those things in the government project. It's because they know there are no people that is ready.
Is that entirely true? Really?
Yes. Look at the construction industry.
Yeah.
Eh? Those projects that were running by Namibian constructors.
Mm.
Some of them they finish up government money.
Yeah.
Especially those. Do you think if people were serious for this mass housing, could be where it were today?
Yeah.
Yeah. These guys, they were not ready. They were ready to collecting money, but not to this. Because if you go to the site of those houses, no matter it was abandoned,
yeah,
it was not well established. Huh?
Mm.
So why the government always consider to sub to do what to control the damage with the Chinese company?
Yeah,
there are only two or three companies that are doing well in Namibia. That's why they are the one that is penetrating the private construction project. Yeah. Those window construction,
Nexus,
Ochomise, what? There's just three or four of them, not even four, three of them. Eh? And they cannot even taking up the government project because they have a lot in their hands.
Yeah.
So, look at those buildings that is built by those, our financial institutions, the Capricorn branch, FNB, Nedbank, who constructed those things. It's a Namibian company. But they don't want him to be a part of the government project because it's blaming a lot.
Mm.
And you end up facing those shortage of or using up the cheap material because the middleman, the subcontractor that is there or the winner of the tender,
yeah,
he wanting more than what you were supposed to get.
Mm.
You see now?
Yeah.
Yeah? That is among us. You cannot win a tender and today you are telling me that I'm going to hire a tractor from Mike.
Mm.
And Mike said, no, to hire a tractor in a day, I need 500.
Mm.
And he will say, no, me, I just tendering with 300. He said, where are you going to get a tractor for 300? So anyway, that is what is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for your input.
All right. Don't do it for the sake of getting a tender.
Exactly.
Or don't give your brother the tender for the sake of collecting money.
Mm.
You are killing the business.
Exactly.
Okay. Right. Okay, Mike.
Thanks for coming through. Mm.
All right. 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. So what was I was talking about? We had another caller. Let's just hear what he had to say.
Good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking.
Good morning. I'm back again.
Oh, okay.
This specific belief, kucha chanya umesha tukiso enji, but it's only one person can do that at once.
Yeah.
Must come to an end in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, for people to, you groom, you see, that's why a policy was put in place to transfer a skill to the locals. Not to degrade them.
Yeah. And we have a problem. Yeah. We really have a problem in enforcing policies.
When you put everything together, like I said earlier,
yeah,
there are so many requirements to be met. And an SME company will not be able to meet those requirements. But once you divide that job, obviously the SME will be able to do that. And in that way, they will grow up to the stages where you want them. And that is grooming.
Mm. But in some cases,
if you give a tender of 80 million to construct a school,
yeah,
And then you say the SME must tender for that. There is a 10% performance guarantee that you have to give in liquid to the bank or to the client. Where are you going to find that? That is 8 million. And that 8 million is a starting capital. You see? We are talking about growth. You cannot just keep on saying Namibians cannot do anything. And because of that, you have to give the money to the, you have to give the tender to the, to the foreigner. And you know the system that you are actually embark on, it does not hold water for you.
Yeah, but you, it also
drives you in debt. Let's say you borrow the money.
Yeah.
You borrow the money. You need that money to make money. The infrastructures that you are actually putting there does not generate money, unless maybe it's a road that connects you, like maybe if we were actually talking about that railway between Grootfontein to Rundu to Katima must be connected or must be constructed in order to make sure that any consignment of about 40 to 50 must be on the train and only 25 or something like that. That way, you can actually set up something of a sustainable development whereby you can make those people pay when they are bringing their consignment to survive by. But in a construction, when you are building schools, you're building government schools, the government does not, I mean, that does not generate money at the end of the day. You need that profit to stay in the country to be able to enable you to pay back that loan that you paid. Now, how, what are you going to use? What are you going to do? What are you going, where are you going to get the money to pay that loan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are you get, where are you going to get that money? You are not going to get the money. You will be in debt. And there are so many ways in order for us to do things right. Instead of just being stuck on one method.
Yeah.
Eh?
Exactly. That's what I want to say. You have to devise a strategy that would also help capacitate your local contractor or whatever, you know.
Of course.
Yeah.
And you know, when people are talking like that, it's as if there were no constructions here. We had formidable constructions company here. Namibians own. We can mention them. They are no longer here.
Yeah.
Because they cannot compete with the Chinese companies. The Chinese companies are international companies. That is the biggest problem that we are having.
Yeah.
But you say, oh, let's just give to the Chinese. But the country is becoming a lump state. It's there is nothing that we can actually rely on. We have, perhaps maybe these people must actually make a meeting and invite people that are actually involved in the industries in order for them to explain.
That's the consultation about. That's what should be the consultation about. Yeah.
Yeah. You have a responsibility. You go and borrow money. Eh? Now, when you borrow money, these international companies, they mobilize and they make sure that they become part of the bidding document.
Yeah.
They said, all this, you must have 30 truck, you must have 40 truck. And put the job there and put a Chinese company as a supervisor. Make them a supervisor. Offer them what you are supposed to pay them. Once, when you must go to the construction site and find out that those people that are there are black Namibian peoples.
Yeah.
Are you saying if they are under the supervisor, they cannot do the job? Is that what you are saying? Hello?
Yeah, no?
Yeah. Is that what they are saying, these people?
Yeah, no.
And this is the policy that has been actually put in place by Sam Nujoma.
Yeah.
And we were able to grow the economies of this country. Whereby a budget is actually to release with surplus, with no debt. Today you cannot go. You cannot say, okay, now we grow the economy by 6.8.
Nope.
You didn't, because you have got debt to service.
Yeah. There's always a deficit.
Deficit. And there's always
and
a deficit.
And it's growing. It's growing. That's
and
the
it's
thing.
Growing. Why don't we come up with something else?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, boss. Thank
you. No, thanks. Thanks, man. Yeah.
Okay,
great. Great.
Oh, 08-333-66. We still have about 08-333-66-091. We still have about 5 minutes to go. You can still come through, maybe be the last one to come through. So if you haven't been here before, all right. So yeah, the other things I think I was also bringing a context to what we are talking about, understanding oil exploration. That would help explain why this quarter's drop, maybe temporarily. It could be just maybe temporarily. Exploring is when you think of exploring, it's the stop and start process. It's a kind of stop and start move. In Namibia, in Namibia's Orange Basin, the success rate of high impact wells is around 60%, far above the African average. So of 12 wells drilled since 2022, every discovery by major, like Shell, Total Energies, GAP and Reno Resources, was commercially significant. So once a company now drills and find oil, now it pauses now to appreciate, I mean to appraise, not appreciate, to appraise the deposit now. So, and evaluate data and plan the next phase. So this appraisal phase is what we are experiencing now. And it explained why big equity injection slowed and investment is likely now to pick up, as they said, again, maybe when the final investment decisions are made in 2026. So let's hope that's the case, or otherwise, that's actually a worrying process. 57 minutes past the hour of nine. And, we have been looking at, we're talking about money, especially money that are coming in from foreign investment. So yeah, when we come back, we close off and then we say bye bye. We say our byes and so stay tuned.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, if you want to stream and also broadcast your event, it doesn't matter what event it is. It could be a business meeting, it could be a functions, it could be a workshop, it could be a conference, it could be a wedding. It doesn't matter, even if a birthday, it does not matter. So if you want to expose your event via a live streaming or broadcasting, then contact our office number 083-288-400. 083-288-400. And today is Monday. So that means the Villagers edition of Monday is out already. If you haven't subscribed, make sure that you do. And if you're looking for, you know, for the latest business and economic news, that's where you can get it. Get yourself a free copy of The Villager by simply, well, what you need to do is send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44, 081-241-44, and be sure that you save that number, all right? We don't want to become a spam to you. So The Village is normally published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, and it's 10 o'clock, and that means we have come to the end of our Unpacking the Day today. And thanks for those who took part on the show, who took part in the program and contribute to the show. And this is what the program is all about. And also for you for listening, and I invite you to continue listening to all the programming that are coming your way. And coming up is Kutha Mosha, and there will be Tate Wa, that Walenga is, and Franz will actually having a discussion coming up. So make sure that you tune in and you stay tuned in for what they have to discuss about, and take also part in the program. So stay tuned, and all the programs that are coming your way this morning and this afternoon. So for me, Michael Shoveli, until tomorrow, on the same frequency, on the same station here on Eagle FM. For me, goodbye for now.